But actually, these are sankhara khanda. The 50 jetasikas are sankhara khanda. Once it arises, it continues or accumulates on and on. So one can see one's own accumulation when there is awareness. How much one cling to everything.
Can we compare that to holding the snake by the tail? Sometimes we are so impressed by the word metta that we want to have it. And that leads to thinking so much about it that we miss the moment and notice that it's just lobha.
The clinging to the self is very deeply rooted, but it can have less, it can be less when there is more understanding. Why not developing understanding? So understanding will perform its function, not I who try to perform.
What about the situation of the person who, let's say they're not that kind of person who has a lot of metta, but when they start listening or reading the material about metta, then they start to maybe reflecting or like trying to have or learn to have more metta. Is that still clinging, or is that still clinging to be something else that you are not, or?
You mean, can it be the object of clinging by reading about metta and wanting to have metta?
No, not exactly what I meant. What I meant was that, you know, like for example, just not the real one. Like for me, I don't, normally I would be a person who have so much dosa and aversion to other people. Anything they do, I'm very sensitive about, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when I come to contact with Dhamma and I know the value of metta, and then I was not that sort of person that has, you know, so much metta or...
The sikas, the wholesome jetic sikas are trying.
So that...
By not knowing that this moment there are different jetasikas, wholesome or unwholesome, you take some metta
so,
for...
So yeah. That's that would be a totally different moment.
Mm-hmm. I think that by not understanding realities in daily life as not I, it conditioned many thinking about wanting to have wholesome quality or... Yeah. Uh-huh.
But first, if they like to change from a person who is not kind to be someone who's kind, it's still clinging, so it's not really the understanding.
So this is not the understanding of the Paramattha Dhamma. It's like reading sutta and see the value of the teachings about all these wholesome realities. And at that moment, there can be the idea of wanting to develop. Mm-hmm. But who is developing? We do not have just two Tipitaka. There is also Abhidhamma to clarify every moment as not self and to develop more understanding. But that there are only six doorways to experience objects, different objects. For example, at moment of seeing, no metta, no thinking at moment of the consciousness. The seeing consciousness arises, but later there can be different kind of kusala and akusala.
Because there can be a moment of appreciating the value of metta, the quality, but then followed by so many moments of clinging or wanting to have more or wanting to be the person with a lot of metta and no dosa. So it doesn't mean there aren't any moments that are kusala or just appreciating its value, but the clinging to self is so deeply rooted that even when one thinks one's just questioning or looking at what the reality is, still the clinging comes in and wanting to be this kind of person. And one kind of justifies it. One says, oh, well, because it's good and it'll be better for everyone else. There's more metta, but still it's the clinging to self.
So, Tanadana, so that moment when they're thinking of, like, when I have the aversion, it's not good or it's not kind to other people, so I'm trying to change, that is still not, it's still clinging to want to be a better person. So rather than that, rather than to change to be something else, or the moment that you have aversion to other people and you're not kind, sati can study the moment of those. And
no, body can stop thinking, right?
Right.
So when thinking arises, it's a reality. We have to understand any moment as nama or rupa.
It's not a question of accepting, is it? It's like, it's a moment of studying.
It's only words, because you see that when one reads about metta and one understands metta right now, that it's not the reciting about metta without developing metta. By understanding this, one doesn't have to remind oneself that today I'll have metta and things like that. But when you see someone, metta can arise by the understanding as sankhara khanda. Mm-hmm. No need to try to force oneself or to think a lot about oneself.
But if one thinks that, oh, to do this is better than that,
it can be.
Then it can lead to be a better person or not.
It can be the moment of reacting instantly, not have to think. Oh, I'm going to sit. I'm going to have metta. I'm going to eat or I'm going to drink. You didn't have to say anything at all. It's like that because metta is conditioned by understanding.
So, okay, I have another question. Like, I just about to go and sit in the place where there's shady, right? And then the next one is sun very strong. So I right away grab the seat that is shady, right?
Yeah, you didn't have to think before.
So, but then suddenly I start to realize, oh, there's a sun, so that person is going to sit there, it's going to be hot. So I kind of, it's better to have sacrificed that seat to that person.
You moved the chair, right. You didn't have to think, oh,
that's
I'm
right.
going
so
to move.
At that moment, is it can be the right understanding, or it can be just kusala without without panya. Is that right? Okay, now I understand.
Depends on that moment is motivated or conditioned by kusala or akusala. For example, when you see things unpleasant or hear unpleasant words, it depends on whether the conditions ready to have metta, or it pop up in your mind, metta, something like that. We don't know, but it depends on what conditions it. Or the self trying, oh, I'll be good, I have no akusala, something like that. But still, it's kusala when it's not harmful. So I think that we are trying to criticize or to explain in terms of concept, not in terms of reality. But if we understand the reality itself as citta and cetasika, I think that it might have, it doesn't have time to think about self, like I'll do this, or tomorrow I'll be better than today. I hear more, I will understand more, and tomorrow I'll be a better person. Before study Dhamma, nobody think like this. Tomorrow I will be like this or that, right? It's very natural.
But I think
that usually one doesn't think about what I'll be tomorrow, right?
That's in general, yes. But when you talk about Dhamma, I think if you don't have that accumulation of panya,
clinging change its object. If you don't know that person, can you judge by outward appearance?
Just my impression only.
When you know that person enough.
Just, I think, you know, when you spend quite a lot of time with someone, you just get some idea. You never know at any particular moment, and of course it's just guesswork, but you can see when someone is being considerate or kind.
Cannot it be done with attachment?
Yes, definitely.
See?
Well, maybe if we have the idea that really we're pretty okay and the accumulations are pretty good, or there's no honesty to look at or acknowledge how much clinging to self there is, and it's very hard for any satipatthana to grow, and because one's just clinging more to self.
I think that's why Achan's reminder about we study to get detached is very important, because we can then notice that, are we really having more detachment?
And is there any room for mana or none at all? The Dhamma is so very subtle. Only Sati and Panya can see different moments. Once we see all the defilements that we could see, but much more than that. Is it not enough?
You impress me so much because you said you just like to be like the rag, and this is how much clinging to self has to be eliminated, how much mana has to be eliminated to just be like that.
This is Sariputta's word, that he himself was like that.
You know, someone had a problem with mana, and Sariputta said one should consider oneself like the, you know, earth that anyone can spill pus and blood on, dirt on, and like the water that can take all the impurities away, or like the dust rag that anyone can just trample on or criticize or do anything to, and one isn't affected. Or
thank you. Just getting back to metta then. So we've said that the development of metta is not related to wanting to have more metta or trying to have more metta. Can we say what are the conditions for having more metta? How is metta developed?
Right understanding.
Right understanding of what metta is. Okay. So, in the
what metta is?
What is it? it's the wishing for the well-being of the other. What else? It's a wholesome citta.
What else?
It's a wholesome jetasika. What else? What else? I don't know.
It's conditioned. Just it's rising conditioned. And falling
right.
away.
Right.
It does not belong to anyone.
Okay.
Just a moment.
Yeah. In that respect, then, it's like satipatthana, because the conditions for satipatthana are listening to Dhamma.
Without satipatthana, it's only words or concept about metta. No precise understanding of the characteristic of metta when it's not the object of awareness.
Mm-hmm. Can we say then that the conditions for all development are the same as the conditions for satipatthana, listening to understanding at a theoretical level more about the different realities and association with right friends and
right
listening
words,
to the Dhamma.
Yeah.
Hmm. I guess the same must go for samatha then, same general conditions for development too.
I'm very glad that this particular sutta was mentioned about being like a dust rag, because, in my life, I think that's one of the main messages I have to learn, because I have two people at home who, I have to say, heap a lot of abuse.
Abuse from people. Aren't we harming them in a way by allowing them to continue?
I think it's two different things. Taking abuse from people without understanding, and being a total dust rag without understanding, is something else, where the person gets totally pushed around and abused in broken homes, and men and women who abuse each other and abuse children and all. Okay, that's another thing. But I think in this case, when they're talking about being a dust rag, when they're talking about being a dust rag, they're talking about losing the concept of atta, losing the concept of self, to the point that it's with wisdom, to the point that one somebody does heap abuse on you, you will not be angered by it and get all upset and uptight about it, but rather you will then be able to learn to deal with the abuse in a manner which shows wisdom. And I think that's perhaps what that would be. That I think that would be a marvelous thing that would be helpful to you in your job too. What you're studying now.
And I think it particularly indicates the absence of conceit as a factor when we're talking about being a dust rag, because normally it's, I think, the conceit that makes us react to taunting or abuse or criticism or adverse comments or whatever. And if there was no conceit, then there wouldn't be the dosa that results from that situation. It doesn't mean that if someone was physically abusing us that we would take no action to protect ourselves. I think no matter what one's belief or understanding, the fact is that what has happened. I mean, if someone has said something to us, there's nothing we can do about that. The moment it's happened, it's already fallen away. So for everyone, it's helpful to understand that nothing can be done to change what has happened already.
But, sorry. For people who don't understand about karma and vipaka, they would still anticipate the same thing happening again. So it would be helpful if they said, they understood that even if it happened again, it is because it's meant to happen again.
You know, we think when there's more understanding developed that we have to behave in a different way, or you know, we have an idea that, for example, behaving like a doormat seems you sit back and say, "Oh, abuse me, abuse me." It doesn't mean that. I mean, it doesn't mean, "Oh, okay, you don't leave an impossible marriage, or you don't, you know, take action and call in the police if necessary, or whatever." But it's just one's, it's more of a mental attitude. It's not the outer appearance or the behavior or the action that needs to be changed. So it's not that social workers have less of a job to do, but if people can appreciate that no matter what the situation, the real problems in life are inside, not outside, I think it can help a lot. But it doesn't mean that you don't defend or try to look after those who are in trouble. If you see an injured animal, well, it may be vipaka, but you still try to help it, if that's one's accumulation.
Realities appear all the time, not any moment missing at all. But what about the understanding? Seeing is a reality. Hearing is a reality. Reality appears and its characteristic shows up as its characteristic. For example, dosa, whenever it arises, it cannot change its characteristic. So it appears, but not anyone or any understanding arise. So when we talk about samatha or vipassana, it is the different stage of understanding. For example, when one can see that in a day there are lots of lobha, attachment to different objects through six doorways, that person is wise enough to see the danger of having akusala accumulated on and on. So that person knows how to develop kusala instead of akusala. And any time kusala arises, it's calm, but it's so short that no one can notice that it's wholesome and it's calm.